Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome everyone and thanks for joining this Q2 FY25 earnings call for Infibeam Technologies Limited. The results are available on the stock exchange. In case anyone does not have a copy of the same, please do write to us and we will be happy to send over it to you. To take us through the results of this quarter, we have with us Co-founder Mr. Avinash Sethi. We will be starting the call with a brief overview of the company's performance and then we will allow the Q&A session. Kindly ask your questions by raising your hand after the brief overview by Avinash is over and then we will address all the questions one by one. I would like to remind you all that everything said on this call reflects any outlook for the future, can be considered as a forward-looking statement and must be used in conjunction with the uncertainty and risk that we face. These uncertainties and risks are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with the SEBI and the subsequent annual report. With that said, I turn over the call to Mr. Avinash Sethi. Over to you, Avinash.
Thank you very much, Surbhi, and thank you all shareholders, investors, and potential investors for attending this call. Thank you for your time and attention. This is the presentation around the last quarterly numbers and also we'll cover half-yearly numbers. Those who are new to Infibeam, those who are not aware, I'll quickly run through the standard commentary about the company first, and then we'll talk about the financial numbers, and then we'll open up to questions and answers. Infibeam is a company founded in 2000. Today, we are a 1,500-person team across all the locations that you can see on the screen. We are present in India in five locations: Indore, Pune, Chennai, Vadodara, and Bengaluru. In Europe, in Germany, we are in Frankfurt. In the Middle East, we are in Dubai. And in the U.S., we are in Bay Area, Silicon Valley, and New York. Next, please. This is a quick roadmap of how we have progressed over the years. The first 10 years were more foundational, and we are first-gen entrepreneurs. So we spent a lot of time putting ourselves and understanding and establishing the business in the initial 10 years. Real growth started only after that when we started building the organization and having professionals run the show. And then we went public in 2017. We acquired our first company in 2019, then the second one in 2021. In 2023, we reached revenues of 399 crores. And last year, I mean, this year, we actually onboarded Anish Murthy, who was with Infosys and then iGate as the CEO of iGate, and he left iGate. He's helping us as an advisor to the board, trying to grow the business to the next level. Next, please. A quick overview on the numbers. We have one of the biggest strengths of Infibeam is direct relationship with very large customers. We have added four more to this kitty. Put together, we have 29 plus 4, 33 large enterprise customers. 90% repeat business is what, again, another strength that we have. Our clients stay with us for long, and we generate repeat business year after year. We've been successful in acquiring two companies to grow the size of our business. And another interesting point is that we have a large number of team members who are with us for five years or more, which is very unique to which is very difficult and unique to us as a part of the IT industry. We've been able to retain so many professionals with us. We are listed on both NSE and BSE. Half-yearly snapshot here, 202 crores in revenue in the first six months, 42 crore in EBITDA, which is about 21% EBITDA now. Our aim is to reach a 24% size on EBITDA. PAT is 20 crores, which is about 10%. Cash and equivalent that includes AR of 75 crores is about 231 crores is the cash that we have in the bank. And 26% is our revenue CAGR in the last five years. We are very gung-ho about the partnerships that we have in place right from Microsoft, from the early times, to the latest one, which is Agenio, which is a German company working in ServiceNow. Then we have partnerships around Salesforce and ServiceNow also in place. And Microsoft Azure also comes in as a cloud partnership. We are very proud and happy to have achieved multiple accolades and recognitions of the third-party institutions. The latest one being Best Companies to Win, and Dream Companies to Work For, Great Place to Work. We also got Asia's Best Employer Award very recently. This is what we do. These are the set of services that we offer. We do customized development for enterprises, and we build applications for them for their usage, as well as we build products for them. We also have specialized capability in terms of user experience and rapid prototyping, where we build early stages of application before it goes full-scale development. Then we are exploring and building solutions around AI capabilities. We also are helping our developers use tools to generate code while they are developing software. So we are trying to improve our efficiencies using AI tools. We are also trying to help our customers deploy AI-enabled solutions so that they can do their job in a much faster way. At the same time, they are more efficient in terms of their outcome, the quality of their outcome. We are also partners to Salesforce and ServiceNow, as I mentioned, and we help in implementing and consulting our customers on the solutions around these two platforms. Then we have automation around robotic process automation for improving the speed of operations for our clients. We also do a lot of test automation so that any time a software needs to be tested, we don't have to do it manually. It just goes through test scripts, which are an automated way, and again makes the GTM very, very fast for our existing customers. Next, please. Key updates. The revenue has grown to 202 crores, which is 8% growth YOY, and 3% growth Q1Q. EBITDA margins jumped from 19% in Q1 to 23% in Q2. We onboarded 4 new clients, one Fortune 500 company, 2 US-based large enterprises, 1 from India. M&A pipeline, we continue to evaluate companies, specifically focused on ServiceNow and Salesforce. And we are finding that there is some moderation in valuation expectations now. Still, it is not as close to what we would have expected, but we are still pursuing those opportunities and working towards it. It is a constant exercise that happens all the time, but the closure takes a lot of filtration and a lot of due diligence before we come to a term sheet signing stage. Event and applaud, I talked about it. ESG and CSR, Infomins Foundation continues to go well. We had 2 batches that underwent the placement program, and again, 90% of them got placed successfully. We also did a very specific program from women leaders in the organization, and 25 out of those 60 people enrolled in a year-long program is called as Shakti. It is an empowerment program for women leaders. 25 of them have now proceeded to the next level, where we'll again focus with them and handhold them towards their career progression. Next, please. The 3 founders on the top, Siddharth, Pritesh, and Avinash, myself. Then we have independent directors, Shilpa, Sumer sir, and Mayuri. Shilpa and Mayuri live in the US. Sumeshwar live in Punjab. Again, a very senior leadership. Emerson looks after sales and marketing. Amit is a director of delivery now. Kannan is handling delivery efficiencies, process implementations. And Dennis is the heading design function. Manish looks after operations, Rama, client success in the US. Darshana looks after Salesforce development, Salesforce business development in Pune. And Upaya is VP of people. Arpit, the heading design, you look at it, they've been with us for so long. Tarulata looks after sales and marketing in the US, Gitanjali sales in the Middle East market. Chaitanya looks after delivery and Salesforce practice in Pune. Some of the clients that we talked about, ALM is one of the largest, is one of the longest relationship that we have, you know, more than 22 years in the making. We continue to work with them. They do a legal content publishing in the US. IQVIA is one of the large healthcare services provided. CoAdvantage is of the HR solutions. Then we have clients which are under NDA, again, a very large company on the logistics side. SMBC is a financial institution based out of Japan, but we work with their US firm. There's a cloud data services and storage company that we work with. And there's a German client, which is a multinational conglomerate in the technology space. And there's a wireless communication company, which is again our largest player. And then the pharma company, again, a very, very big name based out of Germany. So our large enterprise clients is our strength. We have direct relationship with each one of them. And on an average, if I look at the average age of my top 10 customers, it will be, you know, easily crossing 9 years on an average. So we generate a lot of repeat business from our customers. This also shows the amount of strength in terms of delivery and the trust that we have gained from our customers. Let's jump out to the financial snapshot. This is a quarterly snapshot, September 24 to September 23, 8% growth in revenue, 52% growth in EBITDA margins, and 200% growth in PAT margins. When I look at quarter on quarter comparison, 2% on revenue, 25% on EBITDA, and 63% on PAT. In constant terms, constant currency, which is particularly, let's say, USD terms, we have grown by 7% YOY. Some detail here. We have seen demand improvement from September 23 to September 24. And we've also been able to control expenses so that we have a better gain in the margins, both on the sales and marketing expenditure as well as finance cost has reduced slightly. We also have been able to improve our team utilization, and that also reduced the salary cost and therefore a higher utilization led to a better margin. Thanks. Here we see the H1 comparison between September 23 first half to September 24 first half. The revenue has grown by 7% from 190 to 202 crores, and EBITDA has grown by 39% to 42 crores, and PAT has grown significantly from 8 crores to 20 crores, and then 66% growth. Next, please. This is the P&L for 30th September, half year ended. Some details here in terms of how revenue has changed, how expenses have been able to maintain constant between first half, and therefore the increase in EBITDA and PAT margins. Let me also tell you that we continue to invest in sales and AI technologies. So there will be a certain amount of expenses which are going in the right direction towards the growth of the business. That will continue. Next. Quick snapshot on the balance sheet. So We saw last time one of the founders have resigned from Improving Cloud Tech, and therefore the earnout portion attributed to that founder has reduced our liabilities and also reduced our the asset portion, non-current asset portion also. So that has reflected in the balance sheet right now. The profits have added to the assets and the equity portion. And so the non-current liabilities, so the current liability has reduced from 56 crores to 41 crores. And similarly, the non-current assets have reduced from 189 to 167 crores. Next, please. Almost equivalent split between digital transformation product engineering. Insurance Cloud Tech is contributing 15% to the overall revenue. US market has reduced to 63%. And interestingly, Europe has jumped to about 20% in revenue. And this is the quarterly number, by the way. UAE has grown to 11%. So both the markets, Europe and Middle East, have grown well for us. India has shrunk, and for right reasons, we curtailed all the low margin accounts from India. That is, that might have further reduction in future. But yeah, interestingly, we used to have 80% US revenue just a year ago, and we are now at 63%, which is a good sign. We are not overly dependent on one market. And we're seeing Europe is growing and the Middle East is growing very well. Next. One quick snapshot of the award that we received, eighth time in a row, Best Employer Award. And we have got Best Company Award for, you know, top 100 companies in India for women. Certain event that we attend and invited to, this is the ServiceNow event in Mumbai. This is the Shakti Empowerment picture where we have women running through the entire program, and you know, 25 of them are now to the next level in terms of leadership. So out of the InfoBase Foundation students, 73 students have got placed, and one remarkable achievement that we've seen here is 40 of them got placed into one company called Softcute. And this is the picture of that team and their office. Very happy and proud of that. Next. So Indore has a recent event where they planted 11 lakh trees and saplings in a single day. And we contributed to that. We participated in an exercise. This is a picture from there. Market data, you would be knowing it already. Thank you. Thank you. We can open up for question and answers.
One small request. Please limit your questions to two at a time and then rejoin the queue to ensure everyone has an opportunity. The first question comes from the line of Rajesh Chaudhary. Rajesh, kindly ask your question.
Hi, Rajesh.
Rajesh, we are not able to hear you.
Can go to midline, Rajesh can come back again.
Okay. The next question comes from the line of Rohit Singh. Rohit, kindly ask your question.
Hello, I am audible, sir.
Yeah, Rohit.
So considering the recent uptick in the IT job index, alongside US Federal Reserve rate cuts, what are the projections for the demand environment in the coming quarter over the next year?
Thank you for asking, Rohit. I think what you're asking is with the rate cut in US, what is the demand scenario for us, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, Rohit, let me tell you, honestly, we are a micro company, and such changes at macro level does not really affect us much. It does change the sentiment in the market, which is a good news for us. But you know, our business typically is affected by the customers that we work with. And those customers, if they come up with new work, new demand, then you know we grow irrespective of the macro environment. We do take 6 to 9 months to sign up a new client. So that process continues. I would say that you know there's not much of a change in our cycle with such changes in macro environment, particularly in the US. And then there have been other factors, which is elections. So it just slows down certain things, but you know our clients don't see any such impact per se.
Yes, sir. So in light to the anticipated market recovery, are we aiming to achieve a strategic growth target that will result in double our performance in every 3 years?
We do want to do that. I think I've been telling in the past also that it is a combination of organic and inorganic growth. In last 2 years, we have seen certain setbacks in terms of our top clients, you know, fading out very, very quickly. And therefore, we lost a lot of revenue from those few names. But, you know, I'm happy that we've been able to recover that. Plus, the last couple of years, the valuation ask by companies, the sellers, companies was very, very high. And it was not logical or rational to, you know, purchase those companies. So we have kept on sidelines, we keep accumulating funds, and as and when there is a right opportunity, we will go ahead and acquire. So the target remains the same, we want to grow at a faster pace. We are not happy with the current pace of growth. But all said and done, there are certain factors which are out of our hands. But we are still assertive and aggressive in that space, we want to grow fast.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rohit. The next question comes from the line of Rupesh Tatia. Rupesh, kindly ask a question.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Rupesh.
Yeah, I've got a few. So first thing is this margin performance that we did for this quarter. Is there some one-off or this is now the kind of like base going forward?
It has come after a lot of effort, Rupesh, so I would not say it is a one-off. You see, we have increased our revenue, we have decreased our cost, so there was a constant effort on all directions. I think it is a good sign that we are turning around. Will it be constantly upwards from here? There might be slight, ups and downs. But I think the directionally we are in the right path, the right direction. So I would be not saying that this is one off. It is definitely, we are going to build on top of it.
Okay. So it is sustainable. Okay. So other question, sir, is can you update on the Agenio partnership? What is the revenue contribution in the half year? How is that scaling up? Is it scaling up as per your expectations?
Yes, Agenio is going well. We have not published any revenue numbers as such, but yes, we are going in the right, as per the projections. So, you know, for a year-long projection, we had that we'll be having a team of about 45 to 50 people. I think we are already at 30-plus team size. So, by the end of the year, we'll be reaching there. So, we are on track. We've attended a couple of events in the US and Germany with Agenio. And if you are following our LinkedIn portal, we do post those developments there. So it is going strong, and we are talking more business, we are talking other things also. So yes, it is on the right track.
Okay, okay. And sir, this, I think in the last quarter, you said in the cloud tech, some issue happened with one of the clients. Has that been sorted? Is cloud tech now, I mean, have we recouped the lost revenue, and are we on a growth track now?
No. So that client has gone totally, and we're not able to recover from that drop. However, we are inching towards increasing the revenue, but not able to recover completely from that. So it is a slow process. It will take its own time. But we have come out of that hurdle.
Okay. And this explanation on balance sheet, some founder related cloud tech, I didn't understand that. Maybe can you throw some light on that?
So when you acquire a company, there is always this mechanism where you pay a certain portion of the payout as a part of yearly achievement. Now, since one of the founders has left midway, that yearly achievement, which would have otherwise been due by the end of this fiscal, is not payable anymore. And therefore, that needs to be re-returned in terms of the asset value as well as the liability that we had towards that founder.
I see. Okay. Understood, sir. And I mean, Avinash, you have always said that macro doesn't matter. We're a small company. One or two deals can, you know, change our growth trajectory. So are you now in a position to say that our trajectory has changed and over next, let's say, 4 to 6 quarter, you know, high double digit growth kind of will return? Are you now in a position to give that kind of directional guidance?
Rupesh, we don't offer guidance, but I'm positive now. I'm much positive than probably 2 quarters ago. So things have shown good signs. There are businesses that we are, the clients that we are seeing generating a lot of work, a lot of demand. So yeah, I think we are going in the right track. Whether it will convert into a 20% growth, 30% growth, I don't know. But we certainly want that. That is the hunger, that is the need that we have. So yes, we are striving for it. We would want that to happen.
Okay. And then maybe finally, sir, suggestion. I know you look up to, you know, best in the industry in terms of practices, corporate governance and all that. So I would also suggest you know, maybe look at their presentation. Maybe if we can start showing up total contract value, deals win, some other by product, by industry segment, some revenue, because a lot of details are there given by other industry players. And I know you want to be, you know, at like follow the best practices in the industry. So I would urge you to look at that.
Sure, Rupesh. Point taken.
Yeah, okay. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Rupesh. Maybe there are certain questions in Q&A. So, a very good question from Bikul. We have been saying from the last few quarters that they are actively working on potential deals on the acquisition side. So he's asking what are the challenges that is preventing us for a successful acquisition. So Bikul, the fundamental point here is that we are very selective in choosing the targets. Second, we want the customers only from the US market. We don't want the customers from the other market, primarily because we understand the US market better than the other markets. We've been, just because we've been there for much longer period. plus one of the founders live there. So when you look at the filters, you know, we have a very strong filter, and therefore the number of deals that we you know, come out through that filter is less. Plus, when we look at you know, acquiring a company, it's not just the financial transaction. It is a much more detailed work in terms of how the integration will happen, what are the cultural alignment, what are the synergies, you know, how are we going to make 1 + 1 > 2. All of those analysis are being done, and therefore it takes time. Third is, you know, the valuation itself. You know, if there is a illogical ask, then we will not be, you know, able to pursue that. So we have dropped a lot of deals where we have given a term sheet based on the value that we estimate for the business, and we make an offer to the seller company, but then they would drop it because their ask was much higher than what we have offered. So we do our work, and you know, obviously if it doesn't close, it doesn't close. We are not willing to make any irrational choices here. We're not willing to make any acquisitions just for the sake of growth numbers by paying a much higher valuation for the company, because, you know, we want the ROI to happen in 4 to 5 years, and if the ask is such that the ROI will happen in 10 years, then there's no point in acquiring that company. We are better off building that capability eventually. So that build versus buy analysis happens, and therefore, you know, therefore these acquisitions are tough to happen, and it's not very, very you know, simple transactions. The second question you have is, we hold more than 180 crore in cash. Suitable acquisition opportunities are not available. Has the management considered share buyback in the open market? I think, you know, one of the things that all the investors, I would request you to, you know, understand is, we are a tiny company. So the comparisons that you make for ROE or ROCE from large IT companies, you know, is not comparable. That's the first thing. Second is, you know, all of those presentations that we see of the larger companies may not really apply appropriately to us. Therefore, you know, having cash in hand is a good thing. We saw that in COVID times. It gave us a lot of strength, even in the severe adversity. And even though, you know, it is nothing if we compare to the kind of companies that we're looking at. Let's say a 100 crore company, you know, typically would be available for more than 200 crores in value. If I have to acquire a 100 crore company today, I am actually short of money in that sense. So, you know, it is a business of large companies to do buybacks and give hefty dividends. But for a company which is growth hungry, giving back money to the community doesn't really help. Right? We rather, I mean, it doesn't make sense. If we are trying to grow the business, there's no point in giving back in terms of share buybacks or dividends. We rather grow the business and deliver that growth, which becomes a multi-bagger return for the investor rather than a tiny buyback. So I answered Vikul. Do we have a next question?
The next question comes from the line of Rajesh Chaudhary. Rajesh, kindly ask your question.
Hello, am I audible, please?
Yes, Rajesh.
Yeah, first of all, congrats for an excellent set of numbers. My question would be...
Thank you, Rajesh.
Yeah, what is the attrition rate at the moment, and has the salary hike been taken care of in this quarter?
Most relevant question, Rajesh. Attrition rate is around 16%, which is fairly healthy for us. The appraisals have happened. from 1st of October onwards. So yes, we are on the track in terms of what we committed to our team.
Okay.
So we don't see any tough times in the coming quarters. Therefore, we delivered on what we committed in terms of appraisals to happen from 1st of October. That has already happened.
Okay. And can we expect this kind of a run rate now? Because like since now we are pretty much growing and growing decently, especially in this quarter, can we maintain this run rate going forward?
Yes, as I mentioned earlier to Rupesh, we do want double-digit growth and annually as well as so we are unhappy with single-digit growth, let me tell you. But yes, we do want to continue on that path, and we are investing in sales. We are building more salespeople, more teams across the geographies, investing there. And investing in AI technologies, trying to understand how we can implement those AI tools and technologies for our customers. So that is an exercise that we continue to invest in. So yeah, we are in a sense unhappy with the current rate of growth. We certainly want a higher rate of growth from where we are. So we are investing in that area.
Okay. Thank you and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Rajesh.
The next question comes from the line of VP Rajesh. VP, kindly ask the question.
Thanks, Madhu. Congrats, Avinash. Good set of numbers. So a few
Thank
questions.
you, VP.
When you're talking about the salary hikes, so that increment will show up in Q3 in your employee cost, right? It is not in the Q2 numbers.
It will show up in Q3 onwards, yes.
Okay. So then the related question is that, when you have done a wonderful job, that your 100% of your revenue increment has flown through to EBITDA, which is very rare. So congrats to you and your team. But my question then is
Thank
that
you.
will you be able to keep this 21% EBITDA margin, or as you have always said, your target is 24%? Or should we expect a dip in the margin in Q3?
I think we are seeing good traction in terms of the demand. Therefore, we hope that we will be able to maintain the same margins moving forward. But 1 or 2% here and there, I would not really bother much about it. But directionally, we are going in the right track. And with the demand showing up and with the cost control measures, I think we are able to recover from what we saw in the worst times. Yeah, I think as you rightly said that all the revenue growth more or less trickled down to the profit because we were running a tight ship. And I think I mentioned earlier in the previous quarters also that it is the capacity of team was much higher when the revenue was not trickling in. And with now demand showing up, we are showing better margins. So there is a cost to run the operations. You can't just cut to the bone if you have to run a healthy show.
And so what was your utilization for Q2, Avinash?
I think it's inching towards, I don't have a number exactly, but I think it's inching towards 80% more or less. 79 to 80% is, I would say, the comfortable number right now.
Okay, so in Q2, you're saying it was around 80%, and which means that you will still have some slack room before you have to start, getting into the hiring mode to improve the bench. Is that right?
I mean, we do continue to, I think that never stops. Because if you look at 16% attrition rate,
Of course,
we
yeah.
still have to continue to hire. So
Right.
that happens. That replacement process continues.
No, I was talking about the net gain in employee count, meaning like, so the question I'm trying to understand is that do you think you have enough buffer to not add net headcount unless until certain projects require you to do so, or or you think like very soon you will have to start start hiring more people and build a bench? That's what I was trying to understand.
Correct. I think, you know, probably this quarter we don't have to hire any new net addition. Next quarter we would probably have to.
Okay. And then on the M&A side, two questions. What is our cash balance at the end of the quarter without the account receivables? And then the second thing is, do you foresee doing anything in the 6 months given the way things are with these two transactions that you highlighted? Any announcement that is possible in the next 6 months before the end of this year?
For acquisition?
Yes.
Again, difficult to say that. We do have good pipeline right now. There is one ServiceNow company, one Salesforce company. We are debating on the valuation and other things, but we don't know whether it will fall through the right thing, the right places or not. So difficult to say that.
But have you issued LOI to either of them or not as yet?
No. We will announce the LOI whenever that happens.
I see. Okay, fair enough. And then the other question was on the cash side. What was our cash at the end of the quarter?
Yeah, 180 crores more or less, plus 75 crores in terms of AR.
Sorry, 180 crores you said?
Yeah, 160 is it? Sorry, 160 crores in cash.
Right.
And about 75 in AR.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you so much and all the best. Great quarter.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Rajesh. We'll take the last question from the line of Manish Karwa. Manish, kindly ask your question.
Manish, you're not audible. You might want to try again.
Hi, can you hear me? Avinash, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about this. So I was just asking, and again, this may be a repeat of the previous few questions, especially on the margin front. So there are a few things which are happening. First is that you are saying that there's decent amount of cost cutting that you had done. Now, what is the nature of these cost cutting and will this benefit continue to us as growth starts to come in? And second, the salary hikes, you obviously deferred the salary hikes, over the last 2-3 quarters. Now with salary hikes coming in, I assume there will be growth as well. But is there a risk to margins once the salary hikes happen? They've already happened, I assume, but would it reflect negatively on the margin front as we move forward?
See, it will certainly impact the cost, definitely, yes. But at the same time, we've seen demand showing up, so that should cover up. The second thing is the cost-cutting measure that we've taken is we have, optimized our bench, where we have cut down on... So what we've done is we've aligned our sales funnel with the bench, and everything else that is not aligned to that funnel, we've cut that out. So that has helped in a sustainable, cost protection there. At the same time, we are also actively building the talent pipeline so that, we don't have a lot of idle time before the project starts. So these are some of the, tough things that we have done in the past. We've also cut down on clients which were not doing decent margins, particularly Indian clients. So that also has reflected. Some of the clients got converted into a better rates, so that now we have a steady revenue pipeline without hurting the margins. So these are some of those bigger things that have happened. So yeah, I think we should be able to, you know, and collectively we should be able to recover from there.
Okay, thanks for this. Second thing on the growth front, I think partly you answered. It seems to me that while you are bullish on new business coming in, but still the numbers that show up do not reflect a very high growth. You know, given a small size, I guess we probably could have grown a lot more. What it seems to me is that some clients are running off. And as you also alluded, some Indian clients, you are also letting it go because of the margin issues. Now, you know, if the runoff were to reduce, I guess the growth numbers should look very high because a new client acquisition seems higher. In this quarter also, you've seemingly added 4 new clients. And I assume these are large clients. So, you know, as the project starts to ramp up, you will probably see a much faster growth. So is this thought process or assumption right that as we move forward, the runoff will reduce some of the margins we've already recouped. And as the new acquired clients starts to ramp up more, the, you know, the 3% growth number on a sequential basis that you showed this quarter should actually start to look much higher as we move forward.
That's correct. That is how typical services model work, and that is what we are also trying to do. New client comes at a higher rate. Obviously, there's a ramp up in mind in terms of how things will progress. So all of these things help in terms of recovering the margins. And having said that, we are still conscious about our cost. You know, as simple, I mean, as basic as, you know, we have avoided giving Diwali gift this year. Hmm. So we are keeping things like that in order to, you know, save every penny from wherever we can. So we are conscious about those things. And yeah, I mean, you're right in terms of, you know, how things are visualized in terms of whether the growth momentum will continue or not. So yeah, I think positivity is seen, and with these new businesses and existing clients giving more businesses, things look you know, sustainable from here.
Okay, and just a last small question. How do you define the new client acquisition? When you get an order or when you actually start doing business with them, when you start billing them?
I think there are two instances. One is there's an MSA that gets signed with a new client. We don't call that as a you know, client onboarding. And there's a SOW, which is a particular project that is assigned. And when the team starts working, I think that is where we say the client has finally arrived. So when the real work starts, I think that is where, and there might be a gap between 2 weeks between SOW and actual work. But, you know, that is the time when we say that client is finally arrived.
Okay, so then the 4 new clients that you have mentioned you have acquired this quarter, they've started to do business with us,
right? Yes, they're all SOWs done. And
yeah. And started. Logically, they should start to ramp up as they keep moving forward.
Correct. The only hitch here is, you know, some might grow faster, some might not. So, you know, it's all the client dependent situations. But yes, ideally, if ramp up happens eventually.
Okay. Okay, this is it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Manish.
You're at the top of the hour. I'll request Avinash for the closing remarks.
Thank you, everybody, for your interest and attention to this call and to the company Infobeans. We show high amount of gratitude for that. And since the festive time is around, let me wish you a very happy and a prosperous Diwali this year. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone, and now you may disconnect your lines.